Barabbas. Barabbas plays a major role in the events surrounding the death of Jesus. This man has been condemned to die, and I'm sure that he was aware that there were three other executions planned for that day, and that one of those crosses was reserved for him. And I can only imagine, as he is sitting in that cell, as he hears the jailer approach with other soldiers, and he is anxious as he sits and he thinks about his crucifixion. His last day on earth has arrived. And so he hears those iron doors open, but then what happens next completely catches him off guard. Take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew chapter 27, we're going to begin reading in verse 15, and we'll read down to verse 26. Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" And they all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. No one is really sure how that custom began. Maybe it was just political courtesy, where the Romans capitalized on the Jewish custom of Passover, or passing over, you know, one that was convicted. There's no doubt that Pilate could not stand this custom. He didn't like this. However, on this occasion, he actually kind of welcomed it with a sigh of relief, because Pilate was frustrated. And again, Pilate was not a good man, but we see some honesty here with Pilate, because Pilate knew the charges against Jesus were false. He knew it. However, he also knew that if he did not cooperate with their demands, then the Jews would cause an unrest and some serious political grief. And so Pilate was told that he needed to keep the peace or else. There was an ultimatum made to Pilate. And so he faced a judicial dilemma. He had already stated that the verdict was not guilty. He said that this man has done nothing wrong. The crowd, however, would not stand for it. They wanted blood and would not settle for anything else. Pilate, again, faced this dilemma. The crowd's not going to stand for it. They're not going to stand for this verdict of not guilty. They wanted blood. And that's when Pilate had this brilliant idea. He had already stated his verdict of not guilty. The crowd, however, not wanting any of that, they wanted blood. So he says, "You know what? Barabbas is a killer. He is a murderer. So I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer the Jews a killer, because there'd be no way that they would say no to that. They're going to say no to sacrificing Jesus, and they're going to stick with Barabbas. and so he could set the Nazarene free. However, Pilate was not aware of how much these people truly hated Jesus. They hated him. You see, where the prisoners were held was not far from the judgment seat where Pilate was. And it could possibly be that Barabbas could not hear the lone voice of Pilate, but maybe he was able to start hearing chants, hear the large crowd outside saying, "Give us Barabbas." And maybe he thinks, "Man, they really want me dead. They're chanting to give us Barabbas. Crucify him, crucify him. Let him be crucified." And it doesn't matter how hardened a man is. It really doesn't. Any man would cringe at the thought of Roman crucifixion. It's not like in our day and time where it's like, "Well, I'm just going to lay down on a table and I'm going to be put to sleep." Any man would have feared crucifixion, including Barabbas. And so he hears the soldiers coming. He knows this is the end. He realized it's over for him. But then I always wonder what the soldier may have said to Barabbas. When he gets to his cell, does he say something like, "You know what, this is your lucky day"? Believe it or not, these people hate somebody more than you. Because Barabbas, again, was supposed to die that day. There were, after all, three crosses. One was reserved for him. Instead, Barabbas walked off into the sunset that day a free man. Someone else had to take his place. The force of the impact from this scene is not directed at Barabbas, but it is directed at you and I. We deserve to die. We are murderers with hatred in our hearts. We have committed insurrection against the King of Kings. We are thieves and liars, and we are guilty of many other crimes against God and man. All have sinned. As with Barabbas, someone else has taken our place. Maybe you sit in a dungeon of unconfessed, unforgiven sin. Maybe you live with a guilty conscience, imprisoned to a painful past. But the good news is you can be set freed from sin. Because Jesus took what he did. He took what he did not deserve, so that you and I can go someplace that you and I do not deserve. Jesus did not deserve to die. Jesus did absolutely nothing wrong. But he did that. He didn't deserve it. But he did that so that we could be with him in heaven. And I think about the words to a song we sing from time to time, where it says, "There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live." As we partake of the bread and as we partake of the fruit of the vine, we need to understand that we are unworthy. But you know what? We may think that we don't deserve it, and we don't. But God said, "You know what? You do deserve it. I love you that much that I was willing to give my son so that you can be with me in heaven." I'm telling you, that makes us pretty special. Makes us very special. And it shows a love that is beyond comprehension. So let's turn our thoughts away from the things of this world and focus on his sacrifice.